What's up, friends? Welcome back to the Well That's Good podcast. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Y'all, I'm so excited for today. This is the second time Ellie Holcomb is coming on the podcast. The first time was just absolutely incredible, and I was so surprised because, I mean, I love her from afar, but sometimes when it's the first time you meet someone over a podcast, it can be an awkward first meeting, but man, we just clicked from the start, and that's been one of my favorite podcasts today. Not kidding. Would not say that if I didn't mean it. I was actually looking back at that podcast, and it even got more listens than most of our podcasts, and I think it was because just such an organic storytelling moment from your heart and what your story is. And so I'm so grateful to have you back on the podcast. I know so many other people are too. We have so many fun things to talk about. And so welcome back.
Thank you, girl. It's so good to be here. I loved that conversation too. You know, you end up doing a lot of these as an artist, and I will never forget that conversation we had. I loved it.
It was so
much.
So good. It was like,
it was really fun.
It's one of those things where you prepare for a podcast, but it's the best when it takes a completely different direction. And there were so many things I didn't even know to prepare for about your story that you just openly shared. And so many girls related to it. It was just awesome. So if you haven't listened to that one, go back and listen to that one as well. So typically I ask people the best piece of advice, but we already got your best piece of advice. So I want to ask you a little update. Because when we talked last time, your album Canyon had just came out. Incredible album. So first, I just want to talk about, like, where's that at now? I know it's crazy to, like, put out something so massive and then just, like, move on with life. Like, as, you know, as if, okay, on to the next thing. But that's still a huge part of what God did in your life. And so what do you feel like God's still teaching you through that? And I also saw that one of the songs is up for a Grammy consideration. Is that,
isn't that
right?
Crazy?
So that's crazy. So I just want to hear an update on all of that.
Yeah. Thanks for asking, girl. It has been, I think the most amazing thing about being, one of the most amazing things about being a musician, and you know this, anything that you do, a creative, because that's my experience as a musician. But if you're writing, if you're, even if you're speaking, say to you do this all the time, you're speaking or you're sending out a podcast, you send it out, you kind of birth it, you have the conversation, you do the event, you speak, or you send out the record and the song, and then it's just out in the wild.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, oh my goodness. So I think for me, the stories, I was just at the Silos at Silobration with Chip and Joanna Gaines down in Waco. And I was walking with my kids through that little market that they do. And I was in tears by the time we've walked this little one block section.
Wow.
We were playing a show that night. So there were a good amount of our fans there, but we got stopped, I don't know, maybe 35 times by different people. And here's what's amazing to me, Sadie. I cannot get over. I love the way that songs connect our stories to each other.
That's
and
cool.
Then connect our stories to the story of God that he's writing. And so I heard story after story after story, people just crying, saying, this song, Constellations, or I Will Carry You, carried me through the season of infertility, or my daughter has been suffering through a deep, deep, long season of depression. And Canyon reminded her that even in the lowest place, that God's love runs deeper. And so my kids were with me, and they were kind of like, you know, we were supposed to go to their favorite bookshop. And so they're like, okay, another person stopping us. But it was so I stopped and just checked in with them. I was like, guys, that took, you know, about an hour. It should have taken us like 15 minutes to walk that little block. I was like, but I just want to tell you, tears were coming down my face. And I just said, I just want you to know, one of the things that God has called mommy to do is make songs, and then he uses those songs and weaves into people's stories. And he's always alive and always working. And what you just heard about 35 different people say is evidence of a God who is always moving, who is always meeting us in the deepest places of pain. And I know that feels impatient, and that's a hard thing for you to wait for mama, but I just want to encourage you to ask God to give you patience.
Yeah.
And then also maybe to pray for those people who are coming to share their stories, and maybe they haven't ever had a little kid, pray for them before. And so I think for me, the most beautiful part of Canyon has been hearing the stories has been writing. I'm just so grateful. And then it's that same thing. I'm sure you get this all the time, Sadie, but you know, when we are brave enough to go first, mm-hmm. you know, that C.S. Lewis says the beginning of true friendship is me too.
Yeah.
You know, like, yep. when you're brave enough to say, this was hard for me, or I struggled yeah. here, or I need help believing this, God, when you're brave enough to say that first, I think for me, the astounding thing about Canyon has been that the echo and echoes and echoes yeah. of me too. It's and cool. then the stories that I hear back, it's a generative communal
wow.
situation. It's not just, oh, I'm going to teach you. I'm going to sing over you. These stories are encouraging me and yeah. reminding me once again that God is who he says he is.
That's so powerful. That is so cool. When you hear a song, I mean, we've all had this moment when you hear a song and it's like, I could have written that because that's exactly what I'm going through, except I can't write yeah. that because I'm not gifted in that way. You're like so grateful for the songwriter who wrote it, and you do that so well. And that really is so cool. And I'm so glad that you're even teaching your kids that, about just the beauty of what you do and letting people speak in and giving them the time to share their story. Because I remember there was a time in my life where, you know, I was kind of known for like Duck Dynasty, Dancing with the Stars, and it was very like television, celebrity kind of thing. And then I started shifting into ministry, and everything I started to do, like, it really mattered to me. It was really important to me. And I started getting really annoyed whenever people would come up to me and just want to take a selfie, because I was just like, what is that? Like, what does that even do for you? What is that? Like, we didn't even connect. Did I even catch your name? Like, that was not even like a real moment, you know? And you're going to take, you know, a glimpse of maybe meeting me, but we didn't actually have like a connection that maybe could have like lasted longer than a picture kind of thing. And so it just started kind of bothering me. And then there was one night where I was hosting an event, and it was one of those things where this long line ended up being right after I spoke, and I was wanting to talk to people. And so the first person was like, I just want a selfie, took a selfie. Then the next person's like sharing the deepest struggle of their life with me and how whatever I said really connected, and she's crying. And the next person's like, can we take a selfie? And then the next person, and it was just like over. And I was going from like high to low to high to low. And I was like smiling, and I'm like crying, and I'm smiling. And I was like, so this is so weird. And so finally I like backed up and like looked at the line. I was like, hey girls, like, I am so excited to hear about your stories. I'm so excited to meet you. I said, if you just want a selfie, can you come get in this line? And if you want to chat a little bit longer, stay in this line. And you'd be surprised how many people literally were just, I just want a selfie. Came, got a selfie, left. And then how many people were like, no, I actually want to talk. And I mean, we had so many crazy connections. But I say it to say, there is just something so important and so rich about actually connecting to people with a story that's similar. And I love when people come up to me in the airport, come up to me at the beach, or wherever I am, and they say like, hey, what you said on the podcast this day, what you wrote in your book, instead of just having this, you know, small moment of a selfie. I just think it's so powerful. So I think it's cool that you're teaching your kids like really why you're doing what you're doing, and appreciating when you get the feedback of like, whoa, what I'm doing is moving people. It's working. I'm doing what God called me to do.
That they're a part of that too, because they're in our family, and there's a cost. There's a cost to that. You know, we're leaving, whatever. There's a cost to any work that you're doing.
Yeah.
Take something from you. So it is such a, anyway, I love that you did that you separated the two lines. And I remember when I was first touring, we were playing. I mean, when we first started, Sadie, we were, Drew and I were like in a Volvo station wagon playing community college lunchrooms at 12 o'clock. And then, I mean, it was not great. It was not a good scene. People would like look at us. You know, they were paying us, the college was paying us to be there, but they didn't announce it or anything. So people would be like, what are these musicians doing in our lunchroom? So they would like roll their eyes, put their headphones back on while we were.
No.
It was really, really
humble beginning.
Very humble beginnings. And so I, you know, you're just like, this is kind of soul sucking, God. Is this really what you want me to be doing?
Yeah.
And I met a friend of mine. Her name is Jennifer Daniels. I don't even know. I haven't seen her in forever. She was just like a fellow, you know, troubadour, like musician, beginning levels. And she said, how are y'all doing? And I was like, honestly, it's kind of rough. Like, it's paying her bills, but I don't feel a whole lot of purpose in this. And she goes, I know what you mean. Cause she did those NACA anyway, there, it's a whole circuit of shows that you do. She goes, I feel you. She was like, you know, sometimes when I'm in that situation, in that very humbling situation, I think maybe God has brought me here just to pray for the people who are around me.
Wow.
Like, and I don't That's even cool. have to do that out loud, but it shifted what a stage was for me.
It's cool.
I just was like, okay. So even That's if these great. People are just coming to get a selfie because they love my music and they don't want to have a conversation and maybe they're not even on anywhere of the same playing field of faith or whatever.
Y'all, we all grew up at camp around here. We are camp kids. We love camp, love a good camp game, camp song. All of it is so fun. Summers at camp are definitely awesome. And my kids are too young for camp, so I got to have some other things to entertain them. And KiwiCo is a great way to bring camp right to your door. Some of the fun of camp, at least. KiwiCo delivers some seriously fun learning games for kids of all ages through hands-on projects and activities. Every month, kids receive crates packed with projects and items to help them explore science, technology, and art in ways that will capture their attention no matter what their age. So I mentioned our love for camp. My mom actually was the craft director at camp all my life. And so she was always doing new crafts and teaching us crafts and led all the kids in that. And so it really is fun to get to do some crafts with the kids at home, especially with KiwiCo, because they always have an educational element to them for no matter what age your kids are. So even Honey, the little crafts that KiwiCo has sent are great because it's teaching her things that I might not necessarily think to teach her at this age, but through a fun way, it helps her. KiwiCo will help you engage your child's natural curiosity and encourage them to be an innovator and creative thinker. They'll learn new skills and new connections and build the confidence that they need to navigate through the world. We have loved watching Honey and Haven grow and learn, and thankfully, KiwiCo has made it so much fun along the journey. So redefine learning with play. Explore projects that build confidence and problem-solving skills with KiwiCo. Get 50% off your first month on any crate line at KiwiCo.com with the promo code Sadie Robb. That's 50% off your first month at KiwiCo, KiwiCo.com with the promo code Sadie Robb. Y'all know I love a good story. I love hearing about a story, listening to a story, and there are so many unforgettable stories and characters out there, and Audible is here to help you discover all of them. Audible is the home of storytelling and lets you enjoy all of your audio entertainment in one simple, convenient app. They offer an amazing selection of audiobooks from every genre, like bestsellers, new releases, memoirs, mysteries, business, and more. There's always something new to discover along with your old favorites. If you're a thrill seeker, Audible is the place for you. Their selection of mystery and thriller titles, plus highly anticipated new releases, will keep your heart racing month after month. And Audible's next listen recommendation means that there's always something that you'll love at your fingertips. Audible members get full access to a growing selection of included audiobooks, Audible originals, and even podcasts. You can download or stream them wherever you would like and whenever you would like. Plus, members can pick one title every month from the entire catalog to keep. With thousands of titles, you'll definitely find something you love all in one convenient app so that you can listen anywhere, anytime. So if you're into the whole crime mystery thing, my sister actually just told me about a title called The Last Thing He Told Me by Laura Dave. And I gotta be honest, I'm not really into these kind of things because I get too scared too easily. And she was like, no, it will not scare you. You will love it. You'll be so into it. So I guess that's gonna be my next listen. So new members can try Audible now for free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/woe or text woe, W-H-O-A to 500-500. That's audible, A-U-D-I-B-L-E .com/woe or just text woe to 500-500 to try Audible for free for 30 days. Go check it out, friends.
Maybe I'm interacting them it's with good. Them to just be like, I don't even know this person's name, God, but like the Sound of Music saying, God bless, what's his name? like, I'm just going to lift you up to the light that's and pray cool. that God, you know.
That's cool.
In whatever circumstance we're in, we
every interaction. every interaction can be an opportunity to bless someone. Every interaction can be an opportunity to lift them up. And so I love that. That's a great way to say it. And, you know, I will say whenever I was younger, it did bother me in those moments because I was trying to do something bigger than me. And I felt like when it was just about me, I was like, oh, but do you not see what God's doing? It's bigger than me. I don't even want that, you know. But I feel like as I've kind of matured a little bit over the years, I've realized that, you know, it's not about me, and I know it's not about me. And just because in one moment it's a selfie, that doesn't mean it's making it about me, because I believe that even if that leads somebody to tap on my Instagram because they tagged me, maybe they're going to see a message that, you know, inspires them that day, or maybe they're going to see a godly family who loves each other that they haven't seen love each other in that way before. And so I think, you know, I was putting a lot of pressure on myself as I was younger for those moments to really matter. And I just have to believe that, like, every moment matters. And that's it's not on me to, like, create those moments. Like, God's moving in all of them. And so I'm really glad so you said that, because it's really true. Like, I think that was a, you know, when you're younger and you're trying to figure things out and you're trying to do something that matters, you can put so much pressure on yourself to do everything the right way. But there's so much grace for the journey.
And thank God.
Thank God. Which I actually want to ask you about the journey, because for you, one thing that I think is really inspiring about your story is you are a musician. You've kind of always been a creative person. We talked about it last time. You're writing songs, you're going on the road. And there was a moment that you were like, okay, I'm going to have to step back and just like be a mom for a little while. And now you're back and like you're being a mom and you're doing music. And so talk to me about how like, there's a season for everything, because I think a lot of people get really stressed about like having to do everything like right here, right now. But I'm starting to learn that just becoming a mom, now expecting baby number two, there really is a season for everything. And there's a season to like grind and go and get it all started, and then to take back and be a mom and be the wife that I'm called to be and be that. But then there's a time to go back and all the things. So talk to me about when you know it's time and how to just trust the seasons that you're in.
Oh, that's such a great, it's such a great question, Sadie. And it's still, you know, it's so beautiful. I just turned 40 this year. I've been married 16 years. We've got three little kids. My husband does music. I do music. We do it together. So we are like balancing a lot. There's a lot on our calendar. There's a lot, or like our lives are very full. And I'm so grateful for that. But this is still something we are constantly coming with open hands. I'm coming with open hands and getting on my face before God and saying, what do I need to hold on to? What do I need to let go of? Mm-hmm. Give me wisdom, spirit to lead me. And so that's exactly right. There are just different seasons, and it has looked different for us in every single season. And my friend, Jill Gullihorn, she's an artist. Her husband's an artist as well. Both amazing people. I was just thinking about this with her, because when I first started doing music, my very first tour, I was on the road with Andrew Peterson, and we were on a bus together. And I was just like, how do you balance being a mom and being a musician? I'm feeling God call me into this, and I feel so scared. Like, so she was just like, you know, she was like, as you're learning, she said, I think it's less about saying, these are all my boundaries and these are all my fences, but more really being willing to pay attention to how you're doing, to how your kids are doing, to how your husband's doing. And then when you look around and you go, oh, we are not okay. Like, this feels like too much. He said, the really important thing is are you willing to take a step back and to say, God, what do I need to let go of? And so that we are in a constant, you know, sort of dance of saying, Drew and I take every year in January, we call it did we talk about this? I can't remember if I mentioned it on our last conversation, but every January we take a State of the Union trip, and it's like the state of our union.
That's cool.
It's been amazing. And honestly, speaking of seasons, you know, some years that's been like to the Dominican Republic or Mexico. And then some years it's like the hotel closest down the street to us because I'm nursing a baby, you know? So it has been, there's been different ways that we've done that. And sometimes it's a day, like, you know, a day and a half. And sometimes it's, you know, 5 days or whatever. Yeah. But it has been such a beautiful thing there's so much in scripture. There's a time and a season for everything. With liturgy, there's a rhythm. With every day, Sadie, we have there's a rhythm of the day. And so I do think that God is a God of order.
Yeah.
And so there is such there, it has been such a gift for us to really take a step back every year. And then now we're starting to do it every month with our management team as That's our family cool. gets busier and they have all their things going on. Every month we're saying, okay, what does this month look like? And what does our family need? And what does work need? And how can we make those balances?
It's important.
You know, doing this, but that State of the Union trip, we look back at the last year and then we look ahead and really pray, ask for vision, say this did not work at all for us to both be on tour at the same time. Yeah. Until we're like, okay, now we know what not to do.
Yeah,
God gives us wisdom and how to do this better.
That's good. I love that so much because I do think I had a conversation with a friend last night where at our Friendsgiving party and me and this girl and her boyfriend just getting this conversation and we're sitting there for 45 minutes just locked in and we're talking about he's, you know, a junior in college and he was just super stressed about just what does God have for him? What he doesn't want to make the wrong decision. He could I go this way or could I go that way? And they're both good options, but what's the God option? It was this whole thing. Mm-hmm. And I just started talking to him about how, you know, because it was like a lot of stress around like trying to figure out the will of God is basically what I was kind of hearing him say. And I was just like, you know, I feel like with God's will for our life, there is an obvious like God's will for our life. It's like love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Love your neighbor as self. Love, yeah, like the Bible, like the word of God. That's the will of God for your life. That word is solid. But then there's like, okay, the will of God and what you're talking about of like little like decisions in life of like, what job am I going to have? What? And I was like, I feel like that's not so much the will of God for your life that you're going to mess up or you can't mess
that's
it
right.
up is what I'm saying. Unless you're like that's deliberately right. walking in sin and walking against God. If you are like following the Lord and you're like, hey, I have an opportunity to be an engineer. I have an opportunity to go be a coach. You're not going to mess it up. God's not going to be like, you should have chose the engineer job. Like God gives you like free will and freedom to choose. And, and I said, and you don't know what you don't know. So go try to be the coach if you want. And if it doesn't work out and you're like, actually, this is not fulfilling. This is not the best thing for my family. Then go be the engineer. And it's not that you disobeyed God because you went and were the coach. It's just that it didn't work out. And it just wasn't God's best and you just decided that wasn't good for you. So go do the other one. You didn't mess it up. You're not walking
That's
in
right.
sin. So take that pressure and stress off yourself. And so I love how you're saying like, yes, just breathe. Like you can walk into a season and like when you get to the point where you're like, you know what? This is not working. Then just do something different, you know?
Back up.
Talk to your spouse. Talk to the Lord. Reroute just a little bit. And gosh, when you think about it like that, it takes so much stress and so much pressure off of your plate that God never intended to place on you. You know, I
That's
think
right.
sometimes Ugh. Like church lingo like puts that on you, but that is not the heart of God for you.
No.
I always think about when Paul, you know, was wanting to go into Jerusalem and God, the Spirit of God actually says, don't go to Jerusalem. And Paul's like, I am going to Jerusalem. I'm preaching your word. And like, yeah, like he did it. And like, it was hard and a lot of hard things happened. But Paul was just like, no, like, this is what I'm doing, God. Like,
this
come with
I'm
me.
Doing.
I'm preaching the word. I'm doing it for you. And so there might be something that might not be the best thing. And God might be like, hey, but at the same time, when your heart's in your pure place, your heart's in the right place, like I said, you don't know what you don't know. So walking into those seasons and just being like, okay, God, you direct me. If it's not right, I'll lay it down. I love how you said that. Will you be willing when, you know, it's time to step away? That's such a good just like guideline for your heart. Yeah, that's good.
And honestly, exactly what you're saying, there is so – the pressure's off. There's is it an Amanda Cook song? She's like singing at the piano and then she just like kind of hits a note and she goes – you can hear her breathe. She's like, the pressure's off.
Wow.
The pressure's off. He has got you.
It's powerful.
He's got you. And I think so often that like discerning, what does God have for my life? What does God have for my life? There are on the days when I get myself in a situation where I'm like, this is the way, this is what we're doing, this we're going, and I get into it. And I mean, we've been in a season this fall, Sadie, where we are like, we have said yes to way too many things. Like even activities for our kids, it's just like, we are maxed out. I'm looking around and everybody's kind of glitching and I'm like, okay, so we gotta, so, but we're also have committed to these things. So we're still in the season where I'm like, oh, this is too much. So when I get in that situation, what I've been doing and doing this with my children too, is do you remember that song? This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. Good. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And to know that whatever day you're in, whether it is full of stress and unanticipated, whatever, sorrow or news, or if it's just like, you're feeling like I am on it, I've got everything done. Every day is a gift. Every breath is a gift. And we do not take one step alone.
Yeah,
we don't take one step alone. And so I think more and more I'm learning to ask him and to check in with myself. Yeah. Like when, especially when I get all frazzled, I'm like, hey, just instead of being like, stop being frazzled, you're supposed to have peace and you're supposed to rejoice. Rather than that, to stay curious, like, what is it that I feel so uptight about? God, show me. And the Spirit, he's so kind. He has been so kind. Anytime I need to see something in my heart, or when I'm walking in the wrong direction, you know, I think I'm like doing the right thing. He is so kind and so gentle with us to be like, hey, course correct.
Yes.
And that's repentance, right? Yeah. Like there's repentance, a guide, you know, you're going this way. I think of God as like a Sherpa sometimes. The Holy Spirit is a guide. And it's like, hey, you can go this way, but what if, look, there's actually this little shortcut through here.
And so there's
a beautiful like give and take of listening and surrender. Listening, surrender.
It's beautiful.
That's been a gift to me.
I want to talk to you about, so when you came back to not just being, you know, full mom, but being also a musician and mom and doing your thing full time, do you feel like that changed a little bit of how you did what you did? And I'm getting to your new children's book, because I know this is not your only children's book you've written. And I actually read your other one, Too Honey, which is so sweet and just beautiful. But you have a new one out called Sounding Joy. But do you think that just coming back into your work after spending some time with your kids, do you think it shaped a lot of what you do?
Oh, 100%.
Cool.
You know, God tells us to be like kids. He says, let the little children come to me. And there's this story that I heard recently about a three-year-old little boy and then a mom who had a newborn. So this is about to be, you know, you're not quite three. Honey won't be three, but this is about to be
close.
The season that you're in.
Close.
So the mom put the little newborn, you know, down in the crib in the nursery, and she's coming up cleaning for lunch. And all of a sudden she looks around, she can't find her three-year-old. And she's like, oh my gosh. So the first thing she's like, I got to go outside to see if they, you know, I don't want them in the street. But before she runs outside to check, she looks at the monitor and she sees the three-year-old staring over the crib
of
the baby. And she's like, oh no, I don't want him to wake him up. I don't want him to hurt the baby. You know, I don't want him to like, you know, body slam or whatever. So she was just like, runs upstairs. And before she gets into the room, she stops because she hears the three-year-old talking to the newborn. And the three-year-old says, quick, tell me what heaven is like again. I'm starting to forget.
What?
What? So there is this sense that kids, John Guerra, who's an artist who I love, singer-songwriter who I love, when his first daughter was born, Winslow, I think is her name, he said, Winslow came from where all good things come from.
Wow.
And there is a sense that it is our work here as we grow up, as we experience wounding and hurt and feeling lost and breaking and making bad decisions, making mistakes, feeling shame. It is our work to remember that we all have a place that we belong. And I think kids are so free to be themselves. They just you know, I look around and I'm like, we could not act like toddlers all the time. We would be in trouble. You know, kids are like, I'm so sad. And God says that we can come to him like children. We can ask like children, and children will ask for crazy things. They'll be like, you know, just like their imaginations are huge. Huck looked up at this big, tall skyscraper and he said, Mom, you know what's bigger than that skyscraper? So what, buddy? He goes, my imagination.
Oh my
gosh. So big. And so there is a sense of doing all of this work, you know, as an adult with kids, remembering one, it is really a beautiful thing and a humbling thing as a parent to remember. You just are very aware all of the time that this life is not just my own.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not here for just me. And as soon as you get pregnant, you start realizing that. It's a good 9 month, like, you know, like slow ramp up to
for
like,
sure.
Oh, okay. So all of this is not just for me. Okay.
Yep.
Good to know. I knew that before. I know you tell me that, God. This is embodied. This is embodied right now.
Oh, for sure. You know? All three trimesters. It just prepares you all for
in
that.
In different ways. You're like, it is not about me. And what a beautiful reminder.
Absolutely.
And so there is a gift of perspective, I think, that you get on your life. It's not just about you. This is not just for me. This is for them and then for other people. And then you get to see the whole world again through their eyes. You get to see God again through their eyes. Emmylou the other day was telling me something I couldn't hear. And I said, what'd you say, sweet girl? And she goes, oh, I'll tell you when you're younger.
And
I was like, wait. I was like, okay, so are you just being sassy? Like, you're not going to ever tell me? And she was like, no, when you're younger. And I was like, what do you mean? She was like, Mom, when God comes back and he makes everything new again, I'll tell you then. We'll have so much time.
Oh my gosh.
I was just like, Emmy Lou.
Wow.
I love that. And so is a sense that, you sort of get a fresh perspective on God and on his heart and on the freedom that we have as his kids to come as we are. I'm grateful for that.
I love that so much. I cannot wait for Honey to start saying real words, because I just know like so much is going to come out of her. We pray for her just about every night, the same prayer. I mean, we pray for every night, but there's this one prayer that we consistently, I just hear Christian and I say, is God, give her faith to move mountains, and we can't wait to learn from her faith. And that comes from just like knowing that, you know, God does say, like, be like the little children, like, have faith like a child, like childlike faith. And I had so many crazy things that I said to my mom when I was young about heaven and about God and about all these different things. My mom would be like, this is insane. I'm 4 years old. And I'd wake her up in the middle of the night and be like, so what is eternity like? How does it not have an ending and no beginning? And like I would wake her up and like ask these like deep theological questions. I one time woke her up and I said, how are we not gonna burn up by the sun when we all go up to heaven? And then I go, oh, I forgot he's coming at night. Like, I would just say these like one-liners like to my mom, and I'm like, I cannot wait for Honey to say stuff like that. And I just know it's gonna come out of her, because I know, like, I know in her dreams and in her time with the Lord, like, I just know he's speaking to her. I just already do.
Yes.
It's so crazy. And like,
And
you're so right. It's like where they just came from, hearing that three-year-old say that, it like affirms like what my heart believes to be true about the state she's in, you know? And for this baby, like, it's just the most incredible thing. It's beautiful.
I love it so much. It is. And I will say this too. I like our little three-year-old came in the other day. His tummy was hurting. Or no, he was itching. He has real sensitive skin. And if he gets tied, that's not all free and clear. It's just like his whole body is like, poor thing. He just is like, I'm like, oh, buddy. So he's like, oh, my belly's itching, Mom. And so I put, you know, Aquaphor all over him and put him back in bed. He wakes up like an hour later and he's like, Mom, I'm so itch. And I was like, I'm sorry, buddy. I don't think there's anything else that I can do for you. And he goes, oh, okay. So God can't heal me. And I was like, no. Oh, he was like, you can't pray. And I was like, I am going to pray right now. So I was just like, Oh my gosh, I love you. Wow. Of course God can heal you. You want me to pray for you? Yes, buddy. And in my sleepy, you know, not even awake state, he's like, so God can't heal me? And I'm like, nope, he can.
He
and he's
can.
Like, yeah. And he goes, yeah, mom. Yeah, he can.
That is so cute. I mean, talking about accountability for your faith. He's like, excuse me. Like, you tried the aquaphor, but where's your faith, mom?
You told me this.
I love that so much. That is so cute. Okay, so I want to talk to you about just the title of it being about joy, because your life radiates and screams joy. Like, that is so you. And I know you're super passionate about it. And so where does that come from and why? And one thing I want to ask you about too is, like, you put it in a children's book, but you keep saying, like, on just even just social media and stuff, it's not just for kids, it's for everybody. And
right.
I love that. And I find that to be true. When I'm reading Honey these books, she's like, on to the next page, let me see the picture. And I'm like tearing up, like, oh my gosh, this is how God loves us. Like, this is so beautiful. So I get that. And I can attest that children's books are not just for the kid. They're probably actually even so more for the parent in the season of life that Honey's in. But it's, you know, teaching her how to turn the page and read in pictures, but it's teaching me so much just from the words that these incredible authors have written. And you're one of those. And so what is it about joy that you want not only kids to learn, but also the adults that read the book?
Yeah, absolutely. So the title Sounding Joy, you know, comes from Joy to the World. And the whole story of the book for me started when I was nine years old, Sadie. I was invited. I'm in Nashville. I grew up in Nashville. So I got invited to, a friend's house. Our family did. And it was a chili carol sing at their house. And so kids are playing hide and go seek. And then, you know, eating chili, whatever. Then everybody gets in this living room and they pass out these little carol books and they pass out instruments to everybody. This is so Nashville. Like, they're like, ukulele,
so
drums,
Nashville.
Shakers, bells, tambourines, and the kids and the grandparents and the parents all had something to make a joyful noise with. And so people start calling out songs and singing and the old voices and the young voices are all mingling together. And there was something in my little 9-year old heart that came alive that night. I just thought, we are made to sing together. We are made. This is what we were made to do. And God sang the world into being. Genesis 1 is in that. It's in the form of an archaic Hebrew poem. And you think about it. There was morning, there was evening, and God said it was good. There was morning, there was evening, and God said it was good. There's like a chorus and a refrain in that. And if God created the world, why would he sing the earth? And why would Genesis 1 be like that? I think that it's because he created the whole world and every single one of us to sing the song of his goodness and of his beauty, not just with our voices.
Good.
I think some people hear that and they're like, trust me, you do not want me to sing, but to sing with our lives, to sing with our hearts, with our gifts, and to reflect that beauty and that goodness. So I think there was something that was awakened in me. And then obviously, you know, there's all this stuff in Revelation that we'll be singing forever.
It's cool.
The first lines of the first words of the song, the first song recorded in scripture is Exodus. Miriam and Moses and all the women with the tambourines are saying the first line of the first song recorded in scripture is, I will sing to the Lord.
Cool.
So there is all of this. There's 400 references to singing throughout scripture, I think.
Wow.
So somewhere around there. Fact check me on that, but it's somewhere in that. It's a lot. And so there is what we were singing 2 years ago, because we do this tradition now with my family. We gather neighbors and friends and pass out a bunch of instruments. It's a chaotic, joyful noise.
That's cool.
But we were singing rocks, hills, and floods, rocks, hills, and plains, repeat the sounding joy. You know, that repeat the sounding joy. And I was like, what does that even mean? I've sung this song for my whole life. And I'm like, I don't even know. What does it look like? What does it mean for us to repeat the sounding joy? And I love when you go back to the Christmas story, you have these angels singing, don't be afraid. We have glad tidings of great joy that will be for all the people. And they're singing. There's this chorus of angels in the sky. And so it's really because of the Christmas story. Because God comes low down to this earth. He sends angels, messengers to say, don't be afraid. I've got this. My heart isn't out to get you. It's out to draw you near. This is God moving into the neighborhood. It's Emmanuel, God with us. Mm-hmm. And so what does it, I think repeat the sounding joy means to repeat that hope that we have because of the Christmas story with our lives, with our singing, with our acts of service, with our gifts, with our money, with our time. And so this book is really an invitation, to echo the song that the angels sang all those years ago on a real night in a real place to real people. These angels were singing in the sky. And so I hope that people will kind of gather with the ones that they love, like 1 to 92, and sing the songs of hope that we have because of Christmas. And also know, you know, the whole question of the book is, what does joy sound like? I think I might know what joy sounds like to you. You were telling me a story before of what joy sounds like to you, but what does it sound like? And what does it look like if we stop to really listen to hear the sounds of joy and the sounds of life and beauty that are made all around us every day?
That's so good. I love that so much. And I mean, as soon as you said it, before you even were talking about the story I told, I immediately thought of Honey's voice. Like, what I really thought of was, every day when I get home from work, it is the best sound in the whole world to me right now. She squeals and runs around the corner every single day and gives me the most like massive hug. And it's just so cute. And she's gotten to the point now where when she sees anybody she loves, like it's like Christian's parents, my parents, her cousins, it's just squeal of excitement and just like runs and hugs them. And I'm like, man, I need to work on my greeting for people, because there's nothing that makes you feel more loved than Honey's squeal and run to you with arms wide open. And so that is definitely what joy is sounding like in our home right now. But I love that that idea. And what a cool reminder of just the song throughout the whole Bible, the song of our life, and that idea of everything just being, I love how you said, like, the reason that it's like resounding joy is because it's like replaying the story of what has happened. And I think sometimes in life, when life is so hard or life gets really dark, or like you talk about in Canyons, there's some low moments. It's like, how can I have joy in this? But it's joy because of what's already been done. Joy because of what's already taken place. Joy because of what's already, you know, marked over your life because of who God is. And so that's such a good reminder of, like, you're not counted out of joy because you're having a hard day. Like,
you joy, are not.
Joy is for you too, right where you're at.
It's there. It is, and almost, Sadie, like, you know, like an undercurrent, like a hidden reservoir underneath every painful, stressful day. There is this truth, this like shimmering truth that echoes beneath it, that you're held even there. I was just talking with my friend Jamie Ivy about angels and how many times they appear in the Christmas story. And the fact that they always, almost always, people are terrified when they see angels. And angels means like God. I think it's translated like messenger.
Yeah.
And I love that the Christmas story is really, in so many ways, God initiating relationship with us.
Cool.
Like, hey, open lines of communication. And this continues from the angels. And they go to low people. Mary's like teen mom from the wrong side of town. Shepherds are like way low on the totem pole. Like, God's not going to the kings and the highest leaders and the influencers of the time, you know?
He's
coming to the people on the outskirts. He's coming to low, humble places. He's born in a barn. I mean, I'm sure you cannot imagine having this little baby. When you do the whole childbirth thing, you're like, I cannot imagine the stress of that. Like, how intense that would be. And then throw in Herod and killing every firstborn boy.
Oh my God.
Like, this is like trauma. This is like refugee situation. Like, it is. And God's like, I'm going to send the rescue of the whole world into a very vulnerable neighborhood in a very vulnerable time.
Wow.
And watch this. And let me tell you, the angels are going to tell you Zechariah. They're going to tell you Mary. They're going to tell you shepherds. They're going to tell you Joseph, all these characters in the story. The first thing that they say is, do not be afraid.
It's good.
Don't be afraid. We have God's favor is on you. God's favor is here. And we see that in the person of Jesus. And so I think Christmas sometimes, I don't know. I mean, I love Christmas. It is like my favorite holiday. There's this like magic. I think the kid kind of anticipation and wonder and joy reflects so much of what is in all of us, whether we're walking with Jesus or know anything about God's story or not. We all come, like that story of the three-year-old, we all come from heaven. We all come from God's heart, and our hearts long to go home to Him.
Yeah.
Music is built like this, Sadie, like in a key of music. The whole structure of music is home, the key, and then you move away from home and you go back home. So even that's in a cool piece of music, you know, like Mary had a little lamb. Mary had a little lamb, Mary had a little lamb whose fleece was white as. And that's if cool. you just end there, even if you don't, you're like, no, no, keep going, go back home. Fleece was white as, you're kind of leaning in. Snow. You need to go home.
True.
So even music in and of itself reflects this story of the longing to go home, the longing for hope. And so when kids get excited about Christmas, even if it's like the Santa story, it's reflecting something that's already in all of us for the biggest gift of all, of this gift of salvation, this gift that we belong.
Wow.
That's just baked into every single human heart, whether they know it's there or not. And so
cool.
I think as I lean into the Christmas story and manage all of that, there is, even with the magic and the hullabaloo and all the activities, there is this really real sense that for a lot of people, there's a longing that happens at Christmas. Whether it's, here's another year that's come around and you're like, I'm still single.
Yeah.
Or my life does not look, it's the end of the year, that my life does not look like I want it to. I'm still longing to have a child of my own. I'm still longing for this job to change. I'm longing for this relationship to be resolved. Or I have lost someone dear to me and I feel it, you know, at Christmas. And so I love that here in the Christmas story, even when we are in, like you're saying, Sadie, those low places, in the Christmas story, we see it with all the angels. We see it with Jesus. God's like, I'll meet you there. I'm right there. Don't be afraid. There will be joy.
That's
joy is
awesome.
Here now, and joy is coming again. This is not the end of the story.
That's so cool. Gosh, I love that so much. I don't know if you've already done this, but you need to write a book for adults about like the connection between music and the Lord and home and all the things. Because as you talk about music, because you know it so well, and I don't know music super well. I mean, I'm around it in a sense. We started a worship team and I'm a part of writing, but I don't know the music side of it, you know? And so hearing you know something so well, and it connects you straight to the heart of God. I'm like, I want to know more. I want to learn more the connections of that, because God is just in every detail of everything in life, right? And so when you get somebody who's an expert in an area of something, getting to hear what they've discovered about who God is in that field is just really cool. And so if you haven't done it, you should write a book on that.
Locking it away.
I know you've already said yes to a million things and you're a little busy right now, but I love that. And just thinking about what you just said, I remember this has always struck me. It's whenever whenever Mary and them went to the tomb right after Jesus had passed, and they didn't, you know, obviously know that he wasn't going to be there. And this angel appears to him and is like, he's no longer here. Go and tell everyone. And it says that they were afraid yet filled with joy, so they ran. And I love that so much, because like there is this fear of like, whoa, there's a lot of gravity to what just happened. And we just saw an angel and this message that has come to us. But they were so filled with joy that their joy made them run and like go and tell like everybody to like meet and gather. And he's not there, like he's risen. And I just love that so much. They're afraid but filled with joy. And I think whenever it's okay to be, you know, afraid in some sense of the gravity of where we're at in the world. I mean, God will tell you don't be afraid because he has it. But there's a natural human reaction to be afraid sometimes. times. But when you let joy fill your heart because of the reality of the story of the gospel, like, it causes you to run. It causes you to be excited. And so I love that you said that, because that's always stuck out to me. And I love, love, love your new Christmas album, Sing. I was literally listening to it this morning, and I have been like total Thanksgiving mode because we had that party at our house last night. So I haven't switched over. And so this morning, like, listening to the Christmas, I'm like, okay, I can get down with this. It's the time of the year. Let's do it. Here we go. Full Christmas. Cause I love Christmas too. It's my favorite time of the year. I'm so excited, and the music's awesome. You have to tell us just one thing that y'all are doing for Christmas, because I love traditions. And so what's something in the Holcomb house that y'all do for fun?
Okay. Well, obviously Arnie mentioned the chili carol night. Like, we gather people and we sing the songs of Christmas. We make a joyful noise.
I just have to say, if my family did that, it would be so comical, because we do not have a musical bone in our body. And so we would be offbeat singing to the Lord. I mean, jingle bells would go wrong. So I love that y'all do that.
Well, Sadie, that's literally why I made the record, because I was like, people are not going to want to do this. Not everywhere is Nashville. So I was like, hey, gather with your people. Turn this record on. I'll sing with you, and then we can do it together. We can lift our voices together.
I love it.
But there is for kids, and this is, you know, I'm on Instagram every Monday singing scripture, but it is the reason I started Memory Monday, to help people do scripture memory.
Cool.
Well, to help myself. It's not just other people. Hopefully it helps other people. Mainly it's for me and then for my kids, to help them tuck God's word in their heart. But there's something when we sing that it settles down in a deeper way.
Cool.
So anyway, that is my hope. But honestly, part of why I wrote this book was, there is so much fun and magic and wonder of Christmas. Like, literally, Elf is my favorite movie of all time. I love it so much.
I love that.
There's all this kind of like cultural fun and magic and wonder, but there's also magic and wonder in the Christmas story. I mean, there's angels and animals and babies and a star and these crazy guys who are on camels, like wandering through the desert on this adventure to see this king. And so, what I wanted to do was make a book that would tie both of those things together. I found myself with young kids, and you're about to be here with Honey, but with my kids, you know, they're absorbing a lot of what's happening around them. They're like, okay, Santa and Elf on the Shelf and all that. And I love all of that. But I was like, I'm also like, okay, so Santa brings gifts, because it's Jesus's birthday and he's the greatest gift of all, like trying to meld the two stories somewhat. And so I wanted to have a book that would celebrate there's all that fun stuff and all the illustrations, hot chocolate and cookies and fires and trees and lights and ornaments. But then there's also this connection to this other magical story, like the most beautiful story that I know.
I love that.
So one of the traditions that we've done to help move our kids in that direction towards the wonder of that story is called the Manger Mission. You could do this. You can order it online, but you could do it with any nativity. And so on the first day of December, the kids, we set everything up, or usually right after Thanksgiving, we set everything up. And every single night we take the wise men and we hide them in the furthest place away from the nativity. And so every single night the kids move the wise men a little bit closer and hide them in another place and hide them in another spot. And then on Christmas morning, Sadie, usually the first thing, they know Santa's come and they're excited about all the presents, but they're like, we have to put the wise men in front of baby Jesus.
That's so cute.
They run down and put the wise men right in front of baby Jesus. And so the Giving Manger is another book that's been really beautiful. And it's a book, and then it comes with this little, you know, wooden manger with pieces of straw, and talks about how we can celebrate what God's given to us by serving and loving other people. So every time we do something kind for someone or for each other in our family, you say, oh, I want to give you, that was a giving, that's reflecting who Jesus was. And so you give them a little piece of straw and they put it in the manger and sort of make room, for a space for the baby Jesus. And on Christmas morning, we put the baby Jesus in the giving manger. And so that has been, I think there's so much going on at Christmas. Ann Voskamp says, you know, I don't want a Christmas that I can hold. Oh, sorry. She says, I don't want a Christmas that I can buy. Don't want a Christmas that I can make. I want a Christmas that I can hold and a Christmas that holds me.
That's good.
That remakes me, that reminds me that I'm part of a bigger story than just here and now.
That's good.
And so I'm always looking for ways to point the kids from to enjoy all the magic and the wonder, but to also sweep them up into this grand story that God's telling, where he's making everything new.
It's good. I love it so much. My mom reads us a Christmas story from a little children's book every year. And it has honestly become one of our favorite things. We all look forward to it. I have to say, we do kind of laugh at her because she has a pretty country accent sometimes. And the part where it says like, oh, hell the king. My mom one year was just getting sloppy with her accent. And she was like, oh, hell, the king is here. And my dad, of course, is like, oh, hell. And so that has definitely been a highlight. And so it's funny and we laugh, but truly, like, we look forward to that reading every single year before we open presents. And it's just, like, been so sweet. And so I love that. And you can make that fun and there can be so much laughter around that, but also, like, the gravity of just reminding yourself why we're doing what we're doing and the heart of God in it. So I love that so much. Ellie, it is such a joy to have you on the podcast again. It's so easy to talk to you. And I know so many girls relate to just so much of your story, and you say things in such a relative, relatable, fun, and inspiring way. And so thank you again for being on the podcast. For those out there, go follow her on Instagram. She does do the scripture every Monday, is it? Every Monday,
Memory Mondays.
Sings scripture to help memorize it. You can also go get her new children's book, Sounding Joy, and her new Christmas album, Sing. Go get it all. She's an incredible follow. Thank you so much, friend, for being on.
Thank you. I love you so much, friend.
Love you too.
Love y'all listening. You're loved.